you guys this morning as we continue our Bless series. We've been in this series called Bless, where we're learning to be able to reach our neighbor with the love of Jesus. And there's these ways that we've been talking about. If you're in the Bless class, you know some of these ideas because they're in the book, the Bless book from the Ferguson brothers. And you know, I love that video of Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. In fact, in our household, every Thanksgiving, besides the Macy's Day Parade, it is something that we watch. I love a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving because it shows this random group of friends gathering around the table as they enjoy what looked to be some candy and bread. But it's a fascinating story of what Jesus has called his church, his disciples to do, and that's to gather around tables to eat together. You know, in the South where I'm from, getting together for barbecues, as we call it, is just a regular rhythm. In fact, growing up, oftentimes on the weekend, I would be at my family's house and we would be doing a low country boil. We would have the smoker going. I remember during Thanksgiving, we would have a turkey in the fryer, a turkey in the smoker, a turkey in the oven. And so eating meals together is a regular tradition around the table. There's just something about being around the table, being around people and hearing the laughter in conversations. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Today's title of the message is this: A Church That Eats Together. A church that eats together. This idea from the Blessed Book is this idea in the Christian faith of joining together and enjoying meals together, eating together. There's power in it. And I love the story that Jen read for us at the start. This is actually my favorite story in the entire Bible, because it's after Jesus has been crucified, he's been resurrected, and let's just call the disciples the boys. The boys are discouraged, they're off track, they decide instead of continuing on with the mission, they go back to their old way, which was fishing. And so they're on the boat, and I love this picture, it illustrates it so well. They're on the boat and they're fishing and they're not having any luck. You'd think, man, these guys are pro fishermen, but they're not having no luck with any fish. And this guy from the shoreline yells out, "Hey, if you cast your net to that side, you might catch some." And the disciples or the boys didn't know it was Jesus. And so all of a sudden they realized, oh, this guy might know what he's talking about. And they switch the net to the other side and the boat begins to kind of get pulled down and they pull up this load of fish, as Jen said, 153 large fish. Now, if you're a fisherman in here, that's a good day, right? It's a good day if you just catch one, but 153 fish. And so they pull it in and then Peter realizes, oh, this is Jesus. And I love it. It just shows his zeal. Peter has this zeal about him to follow after Jesus. Now, backtrack a little bit. This is the same guy, though, that just a few days earlier was standing in the temple courts and denying Jesus. Three times, to be exact. And so I imagine Peter has a little bit of hesitation to go meet Jesus on the shoreline. And so Jesus, can you just get this visual? Again, the picture on the screen illustrates it so well. But Jesus has this campfire set up, and he's grilling some fish. He has some loaves of bread, and he's preparing this lunchtime meal for them. I imagine for the disciples, this was a regular rhythm. And their following of Jesus, can you imagine all 3 years of following him, they would gather together around meals and around a fire like this. And so for the disciples, this is something that was a regular rhythm that probably was really healing for the soul. So Peter, again, being zealous, he strips off his clothes. The Bible doesn't really say much about this. I want to think he's maybe just in his undies. He jumps out of the boat and he swims to shore. He's so zealous, he can't even wait for the boat to get to shore. So he gets to shore and the guys are eating their fish and their meal. And then there's this kind of awkward part. How many know sometimes dinners with people can sometimes have a level of awkwardness, right? Maybe, especially in the holiday seasons, there's family members that maybe you don't get to talk to a lot or get to see, or maybe there's some conflict and some division. And so for Peter, I imagine he's sitting there probably like, oh man, when's the hammer going to fall on me? And so the guys are probably cleaning up and they're getting the leftovers gathered. And Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, come over here. I want to talk to you." And they have this conversation. Again, I want you to see the focus of this time with Jesus, the focus is around a meal. Jesus, the great theologian N.T. Wright, I love the way he puts it. He says when Jesus wanted to tell his disciples about his death and tell them about what was to come, he didn't do it over a sermon. He didn't do it in a grand cathedral. He did it over a meal, which we'll get to do later in the service, which we call communion, the Lord's table. And so Jesus, in this moment of restoration, does the same exact thing that he did in the upper room when he told them about his death. He says, hey, Peter, I know you denied me, but I love you. And I love this. Jesus asked Peter the question three times. And I think this is significant because the three times that Peter denies him and then Jesus saying, would you follow me? Three times he was trying to heal Peter's soul, to try to get rid of the root of shame and doubt. Again, over a meal. There's something that happens when we gather around the dinner table. I love that. In fact, the Gospel of Luke records 10 stories in which Jesus is gathered around a meal. Are you getting this? Meals are important in Scripture. In fact, some theologians say practicing meals together is a sacred act of worship. That when we gather around tables, we're not just eating food, but we're actually partaking with each other and we're hearing each other's hearts and stories. Eating together is powerful, and I think it should be the rhythm of our Christian walk. I want you to look at these statistics. I found them really interesting. Most of these are post-COVID. As of September 2022, 91% of parents surveyed noticed that their family was less stressed when they shared family meals together. Isn't that fascinating? In our fast-paced culture of drive-through, where sometimes we're too busy, and I get it, I'm a parent, I've been there where I'm like, man, I don't want to cook tonight, I just want to go through McDonald's, get him something, get home. But I think there's something powerful when we can get our family around a table and ask those questions. Hey, how was your day? It's a question I ask my son Jude every single day when I pick him up. He's probably super annoyed with me because a lot of times he doesn't want to answer me. But I'm like, tell me all about your day. I want every single detail. Right? There's something powerful when we gather around the table and we hear each other's hearts. Another statistic says this, 84% of adults wish they could share a meal with loved ones more often. 84% of us say, man, I just wish I could maybe sit with that family member or a loved one. In 2021, 65% of American parents said they had received more meal prep help than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Right, so if you guys remember during the COVID pandemic, none of us could go out and go to restaurants or anything like that, so a lot, we were stuck at home. So we're, you know, scrolling through TikTok and Instagram trying to figure out recipes. For some of us, we're like, I got to figure out how to cook now, right? And so we're learning that rhythm. In September of 2022, this survey said 67% of people said that sharing a meal reminds them of the importance of connecting with other people. And 54% said it reminds them to slow down and take a break. When we gather around the table like that, it gives us an opportunity just to breathe and say, man, I need to take a breath. Today's been stressful, right? What would happen in our households, just our households, if we said, hey, we're gonna maybe three times a week gather our family around a table for dinner? It's hard, I get it. There's practice and there's this and that. But what would happen if we said, we're gonna gather around the table? What would happen in your home? Would maybe your home be less stressful and maybe you would hear your kids' hearts? So eating together is proven to do something. When we gather around the table, there's power. But besides that, gathering our own family around the table, I believe this, that Jesus has called his church to invite those yet family to join in around the table. The lost, the broken, the lonely, the outcast, the neighbor, the friend, the coworker, right? What would happen if we said, hey, we're going to be a church that invites others around our tables? We're going to be a church that says, yeah, I have a friend that would probably not come to church, but they would come to my house for a meal. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The one and only point this morning is this. When we sit down and eat with others, we create an encounter. When we sit down and eat with others, we create an encounter. What is that encounter? We create an encounter with Jesus. I want you to go back to the John 21 story. Jesus gathering his disciples around a fire, eating fish and bread together. There's an encounter happening in that moment. Right? I love a couple weeks ago, we did the Beating the Blues lunch. What a powerful time of communion here for our church that we gathered together. We fellowshiped together. We heard each other's hearts. We had some delicious food. There's something powerful about getting around the table, man. We create encounters with people. And so how can we be a church that learns the power of inviting others to eat together? Number one is let's stop the excuses and instead create solutions. Right? Let's stop the excuses and create solutions. As a culture that is so busy with everything, we oftentimes make excuses of why we can't do something. In fact, the Ferguson brothers in their book, Bless, lay out three excuses that we often make when it comes to inviting others to sit with us for a meal. The first one is this: I don't like having people in my home. Right? Maybe you're the person, I get it, I'm an introvert by nature, and so I really enjoy my private home space where I can just be me. And so sometimes having people to our house can be stressful because it's like, oh, you got to clean, you got to make sure it smells good, you got to do the dishes, like all that work that goes into getting your house prepared. Sometimes you just don't want to have people over, right? And I get it. And so the way I've overcome this is, hey, there's going to be maybe some rhythm in my life where I have to stretch myself a bit to say, yeah, it's not my preference, but I know that in the kingdom of God, God wants people over to be able to sit around the table and to enjoy the encounter that he wants to create with them. Number two is, I wouldn't know what to say. This is actually a really big one. In fact, I remember in Florida when I was a pastor at the church I was at, I was put in charge of our small group ministry, and so we had a thriving small group ministry, but I remember part of that was, hey, I need to set the example by having a small group in our house. And our small group model was simply this, that we would gather, we would eat together, we'd have fun, and we would pray. Real simple. And so I remember the first night, I thought to myself, I don't know what we're going to like talk to these people about. I had looked at our roster beforehand, and we had 20 people coming to our little patio home in Florida. 20 people in our house, which was like way over limit. And I was like, wow, I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. Like, what do you talk about? And so one of the tools that we used in Florida was called story cards. And story cards are really, really great. They're literally pictures of random things like a coffee pot to a baby crying. And basically, you pick up a picture that represents your week. And so during the meal and kind of the awkward getting to know each other, I said, hey, let's go around the table and let's talk about our cards. And you wouldn't believe it. For over an hour, people are just telling their life story. And then someone said, hey, I actually go through that same struggle. Could we pray together? And there's just this rich time of community. But if I would have said, yeah, I just don't know what to say, so I'm not going to do it. I know what to say to my family, or I know what to say to my friends, but to a random stranger, I don't know what to say. If I allowed that excuse to stop me from partaking in what Jesus has called his church to do, I would have lost out in seeing the fruit of it. And the last one is, number three is, I just don't have time. I think all of us in here could say it, right? We could all say, we don't have time. Our schedule is packed full. Some of you work crazy long jobs. And you're saying, I don't have time to invite people over to my house. I get it. But what would happen if you said, yeah, I can maybe carve out an hour a month to host a dinner party at my house to invite people who are saved, lost, broken, need hope over? Some of us in here, listen, God has blessed us with incredible houses to host people. I think of the Metters, Marshall and Cindy Metter, man, their house is gorgeous, and they have this long table that can fit like 30 people. It's ridiculous. I'm like, I'm so jealous. It's amazing. And oftentimes we've had like our young adult Thanksgiving dinner there, and it's just amazing to see all these people gathered at a table. When Becca and I first got here, I'll never forget when the Brubakers invited us over for their Easter lunch and sitting around, again, a huge table. I don't know what it is with Mennonites. You guys love really big tables. It's beautiful. And so we're enjoying this meal together and we're sharing about our life. And I just thought, man, this is what the kingdom looks like. Jesus was fun. Did you know that? He loved food. I think Jesus was probably a really great cook as he was getting that fish on the fire. He's adding his little seasoning, maybe a little slap your mama seasoning on it, making it nice and good. Jesus loved to gather people around meals. In fact, Jesus oftentimes was either hosting a meal or was invited to a meal. And so for his church, I think he's called us to do the same thing. He's called us to set the example. I had a thank you to Janelle Metter for setting this beautiful table up. And I wanted this to be an illustration of what would happen if, again, once a month, maybe you say, hey, I'm retired, I have a little bit more time, I can host people around a dinner table. I might not be able to cook. Let that be an excuse, right? I can't cook. There's some great restaurants in Mountain Joy that you could get some food from. I don't have the house to have people over. There's some people in this church who have some beautiful homes who would probably love to host you. What would happen if we gathered friends and strangers around a table and begin just to share life? And begin to share stories as we're enjoying our drinks together and we're eating the delicious food together and we're seeing this. What would happen if you could envision Jesus being in the center, ministering to people, both far and near? I think we have to stop the excuses and instead create solutions, because I just believe it. I believe I've seen the power of it in my own life. I've seen the power of it in other people's lives. When we gather them around the table, there's beauty, there's grace, there's healing, there's hope. In fact, we're going to provide a space for our church here on Maundy Thursday. We've decided to do something a little different this year with Maundy Thursday. And we said, hey, we're going to create a community meal that not only our church family can come to and partake in, but the neighbors around our church can hear about to come. And our prayer and hope is that people, again, far and near would come that Maundy Thursday and they would experience a fun, lively atmosphere around good food, around good conversation. And so if you're like, I'm kind of new to this, let Maundy Thursday maybe be a testing example for you of, hey, I can sit at a table and have conversation with people. I can do this. I remember our small group in Florida, again, we had 20 people in our house, and what was so beautiful about our small group was we had people who were 14 years old all the way to 90 years old. And so it was just this beautiful, eclectic collection of people who would share life. We did it once a month, and we would share life together and catch up together, and there's just this beauty of having dinner together. Number two, if you're taking notes, is this. Part of it is that we would pray first, we would discern, and then we'd invite. I like to say it like this, like if there's a neighbor or a coworker maybe that you've heard some stuff about and you're like, I would love to have them over, the first step in it is I need to pray for that person. I need to ask the Lord Jesus to say, what breaks your heart about this person? Maybe there's some struggles going on in their life and you just saying, hey, I'm gonna take 5 minutes out of my day to pray for them, to give them hope, to encourage them. And then ask the Holy Spirit and say, hey, what is some stuff going on in their life that when I invite them over, I could maybe bring up or talk about? I love what in John 21, in the story, Jesus in this moment of eating together, he prays, I imagine he prays, he discerns, and then he invites Peter over into this sacred space of healing. He invites Peter into this space of basically reconciliation, of saying, hey, Peter, I know you denied me, I know you messed up, but I want to invite you into a space where you can be healed. And again, it was over a meal. Jesus prayed, he discerned, he invited his disciples. Just right now, I want us to do this. I want us to close our eyes just for a moment, and I want us to pause our hearts. I just want to ask all of us, including myself, this question is, who is someone currently in your life that you could begin to actively pray for? Maybe a name flashes in your mind, maybe a mental picture. And then ask the Holy Spirit this question. Holy Spirit, help me to know what is exactly this person struggling with or in need of. Maybe it's just a friend. You can open your eyes. Maybe they just need a friend. Maybe having them over to a dinner at your house would be life-changing for them. Maybe it'd be healing for them. You know, a lot of people don't have the opportunity I think a lot of us have of enjoying meals around tables. And so maybe sitting at a table would be super healing for that person, would be life-giving for that person. Becca and I prayed, and we really felt like this summer we wanted to create some spaces to invite others. And so if you know me, I love to cook. I love to smoke food. I love to do low country boils. I'm a Southern boy, and so I love good food, right? Give me some mac and cheese, some collard greens, like I'm about it. And so this summer, we're going to create some spaces to invite not only you guys as our church family over to our home, but also our neighbors. Becca and I have these two beautiful neighbors next to us. One is a mom and a dad and a son, and the other one is a man from Honduras. Doesn't speak English, but he loves good food. He's been over a couple times when we've been cooking in the backyard. And so we said, hey, we want to invite not only our church family and our friends, but we want to invite our neighbors over this summer. We want to hold, what if instead of grilling in the backyard, we grilled in the front yard, in the driveway, where people could smell the good food. And maybe as people were coming by, you say, hey, you want a rib or you want a piece of chicken? Come get you a plate. What would happen if we said, hey, we're going to pray, we're going to discern, we're going to invite others to this space? And so be on the lookout this summer, because I'm going to invite some of you guys and give you the opportunity to come have some good food at our house. Number three, lastly, is this, that we would be available to create spaces that invite others to the table. I think this is the key, right? We can pray, we can discern, we can invite, but I think a lot of it has to come down to our availability. And if we say we're just not available, again, we go back to the excuses, we'll never make the time needed to meet others at the table. But if we said, hey, we're going to be available to create some spaces to invite others to the table. What I love about Jesus is that oftentimes when he would host these parties, he would gather people far and near. You know, there's this story I love where he's with the tax collectors, the people of the day who he shouldn't be with as a high priest, and yet he invites them to these dinner tables to have conversation. Jesus loves inviting others. He was available to create these spaces. Jesus in our story in John was available and invited the boys to the space of encounter on the shoreline. Right? Can you just picture, can you give your imagination rolling the smell of cooking fish and bread and some drinks, and Jesus is inviting them around the shoreline and saying, guys, this is what it's about. Church, Jesus invites us to the table. But he doesn't just invite us to the table. He invites us to the table then to invite others to the table. If you read Revelations, the very end of Revelation ends, ironically, with a dinner. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine this long table? You guys think you have some long tables in this church. Imagine this table. It'll go on for miles with saints around it, eating together, enjoying fellowship together. Henry Nouwen, love this. He writes this about the power of eating. He says, when we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. When we say, help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, have another glass, we offer our guests not only food and drink, but also ourselves. A spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for one another. What would happen in the 1 mile radius, in the lakes, across the street, down Musser Road, if we said, we're going to carve out some time, we're going to create some space for God to meet with people around a table? I'm going to find, maybe today, your mind's starting to roll. Oh, how can I host a party? Who can I invite to it? I don't have the house, but I know so-and-so has a house that they might be willing to host some people. I can't cook, but I know so-and-so, man, they can slap some good food. I can ask them to cook. What would happen if we just broke through the excuses and said, I'm available. I'm willing. I'm obedient. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Come. Come meet us at the table. Come encounter people at the table. I want to show you guys this picture. This was two summers ago. There's two pictures up there on our mission trip to Cleveland. And on our last day at the work site we were at, Miss Gail's house, we decided as a team to say, hey, we want to throw a neighborhood barbecue. We want to not only feed ourselves, but we want to invite your neighbors. And so Miss Gail, for those that were on the trip, you know, man, she just had this like Southern hospitality about her. I loved it. She said, I mean, she got out everything. She busted out her shrimp, her chicken, and she's making it all. And so me and her on the one side, it was such a privilege and honor, honestly, a memory that I will live forever with me, is that we got to grill together. We're preparing the food and the chicken, and the students are still working and having a good time. And then we put it all at a table, and we sat around this giant circle enjoying the food together. And there was neighbors there. We got to hear stories that were just wild. These older church ladies telling us some stories. And I loved it because it gave me a glimpse of, this is what kingdom looks like. Kingdom looks like gathering people around tables, enjoying good food together, enjoying good conversation together. In fact, our youth ministry for this year, we've decided we're going to do something called Table Nights. And Table Nights is going to happen 4 times this year, and it's just exactly what it sounds like. We're going to have a lawn table in the gym where we're going to invite students and their friends to come join a meal together and to eat some good food, to have some fun, and maybe at the end of it, to pray together over the needs represented. I just believe there's power in eating together. There's power in joining together at the table. What could happen in our church community here, in our neighborhoods, in our spheres of influence, if we decided to be available to create spaces that offer and invite others to the table? We're going to move into a time of communion to close out the sermon. I thought, what a great Sunday. As we're talking about eating together, as we're talking about enjoying a meal together, that we would do one of the most sacred things we could do, which is to join the Lord Jesus around the table of communion. Before we move into this time, I just want to say, if you didn't get the elements as you walk through the doors, the cup, if you would just lift your hand high in the air, and our usher team will come around and meet you where you are to get you some elements. I think everyone's good. Oh, in the front here. We have someone in the front. Yeah, just keep your hands high. There's one back there in the middle, this back row. I want to say that quote again from the theologian N.T. Wright. He says, when Jesus wanted to explain to his followers the meaning of his death, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal. And so as we join together in this sacred moment around a meal, around eating together, the Lord's Supper, I just want us to take a moment as the usher team is still getting some elements passed out. I just want you to, however you can, take a moment and pause and reflect. And ask yourself these questions. Are you at peace with God? And are you at peace with others? And if not, just take a moment of reflection and prayer. Jesus, we do pause and we reflect. For a lot of us, we are at peace with you and we are at peace with others. But Father, I pray for those that maybe there's a roadblock or a wall hindering that peace. I just pray right now you would give that person strength to let down the wall and to say, man, maybe I need to forgive someone. Maybe I need to forgive you, God. Be at peace with you and others, Jesus. If you have the elements and you were able to open them up, like some of them are a little tricky, I want to read from us from Corinthians, Paul's instructions on this. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can we take of the Lord's bread? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take up the Lord's cup together. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this service. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful congregation that, Lord, there's people in here who have such a heart of generosity to open their home and to invite others over. And so, Lord, I pray that as we think about gathering people around the table, and Lord, as we even consider this idea, for some of us, it could be scary. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us strength, you would give us courage to say, you know what? I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to invite people around the table with me for food, for conversation, to have an encounter with you, Jesus. I pray our church would be full of dinner parties, Lord, that neighbors would not just know of Mount Joy Mennonite as another church, but they would know it as a place that has people who love people and love their God. Lord, would we be generous with everything that we have, our homes, our food, our life. Father, I thank you that you're doing a new thing. That you're doing a new thing, Lord. Would we bless our neighbors? Would we bless each other? Would we love you, Jesus? We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Josh, for those challenges. I think each of us has heard a challenge that we can take part in, right? Whether it be increasing the meals that you're going to have together as a family this week, or just stopping those excuses. Oftentimes we want to kind of hit the easy button. What's the easiest thing we can do? Well, let's step away from that easy button and kind of enter into this prayer and discerning. I know some of us probably have felt the